And if you've got your Bible, go to Luke 2. If you don't have a Bible, grab one under the seat there in front of you or underneath you, and you can, the church Bible page number is page 1057. It's at the top of your handout there each week. That'll give you, you know, where to go to be able to find where we're at. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Give you a second to get there. How many of you guys have ever been discussing something with somebody and they do not get the point you're trying to make? Have you ever had that happen? They just don't get it. Some of you are like, yeah, that happened this morning on the way to church. But yeah, it's like, have you ever told somebody you're missing the point? And isn't it aggravating when you're discussing something with somebody and they're missing the point of what you're trying to say? My little grandson Landon, who's two, he already does not like you to miss the point he is making. And he'll pull your face over or do whatever it takes, you know, to get you. And it was so cute. I got to share this with you that Clint had him in Bethlehem last night. And they were at the shepherd scene, and the shepherds are yelling, Messiah's come, Messiah's come, let's go see the Messiah. And so he looked at Clint, and he went, Daddy? He said, yeah? He said, I want to go see Sia. And he said, okay. And so he said, let's go see Sia, let's go see Sia. And so Jonathan and Ashley Schultz, a young couple in our church, their baby is Jesus. His name's George. And Ashley and Jonathan, they are Mary and Joseph. So let's go see Sia. So he takes Landon over to the manger scene, and Landon took one look and he went, that not Sia, that George. He's like, man, I've been rooked, you know. He goes, that not Sia, that George. He's like, man, you guys are missing the point, right? And it's aggravating when people miss the point. Well, let me ask you a question. What are we supposed to be celebrating at Christmas? Come on, somebody tell me. What is it supposed to be about? Yeah, write that in your handout. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. That's the point, right? We are supposed to be celebrating the fact that God came to this earth in a fleshly body to reach out to imperfect people like you and me. And, you know, God coming to this earth, man, that's astounding. That is like major. I mean, God visited the earth. I mean, would you guys agree that's amazing, huh? I mean, that's incredible. God came to us. It's like religion says, you know, you need to work and work and work to try to get to God. But you know what? True Bible Christianity is not, oh, you know what? You need to work to try to get to God. No, man, the message of the Bible is God came to you. He came to you. It's amazing. And it absolutely should, this should be a time of great joy as we celebrate one of the greatest acts of sacrificial love that the world has ever known. I know that he probably wasn't born on December 25th. I know, you know, and I've studied all that. I know that. But the point is that we've got a day that our culture has set aside to commemorate one of the greatest birthdays that has ever taken place. And by the way, there is, for all you Scrooges out there, this is for you, all right? There is nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned celebration, okay? Let's just make sure we're clear on that. God is not against celebrations, all right? He's not a fuddy-duddy. God is not against it. There is nothing wrong with celebrating something that's worth celebrating. We celebrated my son's birthday this week. Why? It's worth celebrating. You know, would you guys agree that God coming to this earth and Jesus being born to be our Savior, isn't that worth celebrating? Amen? I mean, that's worth celebrating. God's not against celebrations. They have celebrations in heaven. We know that. We read about that a couple weeks ago. Did you know in the Old Testament that God actually set aside days in the Old Testament on the calendar where his people were to really do nothing but just kind of just party and celebrate, just celebrate his goodness? Don't do any work. Don't do nothing. Just party, man, and celebrate the goodness of God. God is not against celebrations. The angels threw a big celebration. We're going to read it today. But the angels threw a big celebration when Christ was born. So God's not against celebrations. But whenever God does this, there's a point behind it. And if we're all really brutally honest today, if we all just get real and honest, I think we have to admit that it's really easy, especially in our culture, to get caught up in the hustle and bustle and miss the whole point. And that is that it's supposed to be about Jesus Christ and what he's done. And we can get so caught up in the commercialism of it all, what we're going to give, what we're going to receive, what we need to buy, decorations that we need to put up, parties that we're going to, that we can miss the whole point. But people have not changed through the years. The same thing happened 2,000 years ago. Many people, when Christ was born, missed the point. They missed the whole significance of Christ's birth. But the good news is that it doesn't have to happen to us. It's still a week to go till Christmas. And we can look into God's Word today, and we're going to look into God's Word, and we're going to see how we can keep from missing the point, all right? And I'm going to give you, of course, a Bible-based, we're going to learn from the Bible, but we're also going to apply it and hopefully give you some good practical stuff you can put in your pocket and take home with you today, all right? So number one is this. This is very simple, but I'm telling you, we're going to see it. It's so important. Number one is that you have to focus on keeping Jesus the center of your Christmas. All right, now we're going to read in Luke 2. Go to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse 3. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So that's where he was supposed to go. You understand, Bethlehem is not where they were from. That wasn't their hometown. They were from Nazareth. But they had to go to Bethlehem in order to do this tax. And it's kind of cool because centuries before this happened, it was prophesied in Micah that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And so God said it hundreds of years before it happened. He nails the tiny little village of Bethlehem as the place where Christ would be born and predicted it way before it ever happened. The Bible is an amazing book. Amen, church? And it's incredible. That's God's Word. That's the only way that could happen. And so he pinpoints it. So God worked the events out here to where, yes, he was born in Bethlehem, because look at the next verse. Verse number, go to verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. So it was time. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Why were they in a barn? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, think about if you're the innkeeper. This was a special day for the innkeeper, but for the wrong reasons. I want you to write that in, all right? Special day for the innkeeper, but for the wrong reasons. You see, this was a special day for the innkeeper because he was sold out at his inn. This was the census made this a big money-making event, big money-making night. The sleepy little village, by the way, Bethlehem was not a metropolitan area, all right? Bethlehem was a little village 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And this was probably the biggest year for biggest night of the year for this innkeeper. But he missed the main point of the night, didn't he? The innkeeper had quite an opportunity. He had the opportunity to have the Son of God born in his inn. And in your handout it says he thought the main point of the night was about money, but it wasn't. It was about Jesus, the Son of God. One of the biggest nights in the history of mankind. It's happening right under this guy's nose, and he missed it. Let me ask you, he missed it because he was too busy worrying about money. Do you think people struggle with that issue today? And by the way, doesn't mean he was a mean and hateful man. Now, we take some poetic license, and we make him a pretty good villain in our city of Bethlehem back here, all right? And if you guys haven't seen Joe Wyatt and Brian Seifert do their rendition of the innkeeper. It's something to behold, let me tell you. But he most likely missed the point of all this because of preoccupation. You know, again, you can just see him, right? He's hustling, bustling around. He's trying to, you know, take care of his guests, serve them, fix dinner, change the beds, change the sheets, get towels. And here comes Mary and Joseph, right? And they knock at the door. And so he looks out the window, and he's so preoccupied, probably doesn't even notice she's pregnant. And so he just turns the sign around, no vacancy, and, you know, get lost, we're full. It doesn't necessarily mean he was a nasty jerk, all right? He just simply was so preoccupied with all the other guests and everything going on, he missed the main point of one of the greatest days in history. And he could have been right in the middle of it, and he could have played a significant role in this. So the question is then, how do I respond to that? How am I going to respond to this illustration, this story that really happened? What am I going to learn from that? Well, here's what I learned. We have to intentionally, because it's not going to happen if we don't do it intentionally, we have to intentionally make a decision that we are going to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to say, you know what? I am not going to allow myself to get so preoccupied with getting the best bargains and buying the gifts and wrapping the presents and fixing food and baking cookies, involved with the family, traveling, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. I love all that stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? I'm not going to get so preoccupied with that stuff that I miss the main point of what we're celebrating, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let that happen. You have to decide that. You have to make a decision. I'm not going to let that happen. It's like, say that someone gives me a ticket to go to a big game at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I got the ticket in my hand. And so I'm up there, and I take off, and Denise is like, have a good time. And so I head to the game. I think, well, you know, you're supposed to get in the 20s. I'm not dressed appropriately. I better, you know, get a jacket. And so I go to the store, and I'm getting a coat, and I'm picking that out. And then I'm thinking, well, I better have, some gloves. And I'm picking out gloves, and I'm going, trying to get the best bargains, you know, for all this stuff. Then I get to the stadium. And I'm enamored. I'm like, oh, whoa, wow, look at this. There's a statue over here of Vince Lombardi. And I look at the statue, and I'm reading all the stuff. And then there's another statue, wow, Curly Lambeau. And I'm reading all about him. And I'm looking at everything. I'm taking it all in. I can't believe it. I finally get in. And I get inside, and I think, well, man, I got to have a hat. Every Packer fan has to have a Packer hat, amen? And so I got to pick out. So I'm picking out a hat, trying on about 12 different hats. Finally got me a hat. Then I think, well, got to get Landon a hat. Oh, yeah, we got to raise that boy up right, amen? And so I got to pick out a hat for Landon, then pick out some stuff for the kids, and pick out, you know, for Denise and different ones. And so I'm doing all this. Finally, I go back, and Denise is like, how was the game? And I go, I don't know. She goes, you don't know. Did you lose your ticket? No, I missed it. You missed the game? How'd you miss the game? I was so busy shopping and looking at statues and stuff. I missed it. Before I knew it, the game was over. What do you think she'd say to me? We're in church. Let's not say it, all right? We need to make sure that we and our kids and our families don't miss the point of Christmas. Let's not miss the incredible and awesome reason for the season, and that's Jesus. And let's not miss the point. I mean, it's like if you know Him today as your Savior, then let's just be who we are. We're Christ followers. And so we are not going to be like just heathen people that don't know the Lord, you know? I mean, they don't know Him, and so they don't know any better, and so they're not even going to think about Jesus, but that's not who we are. We're Christ followers, so we're not going to be that way. We're going to allow Jesus Christ to be the center and to be the focal point of everything that we do, and we're going to see Him in everything good that happens, you know? We're going to see Him. We're going to recognize His goodness. When the kids are laughing because we gave them a gift and they're smiling from ear to ear, we're going to see Jesus in that, you know? When we receive something, we're immediately going to thank Him for that. And we're going to allow Christ to be the center of everything we do. I found this video this week, and I thought, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. So I'm just going to take a time out here, and I'm going to dim the lights. I'm going to show you this. It's just a couple of minutes. This is so perfect. Watch this.
This year, we're finally going to get Christmas right. If it's not Jesus, it's got to go. But would that really get us to focus on the reason for the season? We might find it easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The point of Jesus' birth was to bring God into humanity. What if we were able to see Jesus in all the traditions? The first Christmas was about God with us. Let's make this Christmas about us with God. May we see the joy of Christ in our kids' laughter, the love of Christ with our family, the heart of Christ in the gifts we give, the provision of Christ in the meals we share, the light of Christ as we decorate our homes, the wonder of Christ in the songs we sing, the hope of Christ in the quiet moments we share. Because when we see Jesus, we are getting Christmas right.
Isn't that good, church? You know, it's not a matter of just throwing everything out. No, it's, you know, no, we're going to run counter cultural in our attitude. And we're going to let Christ permeate everything we do. And we're going to see his goodness in everything that happens. And we're going to truly recognize, Jesus, this is about you. And everything that we're enjoying, it's because of you. You know, you just got to focus on making him the center. But number two is this. The second thing is to focus on Jesus and not mindless ritual. I want you to write that down. I want to explain what I mean by that here in just a minute. What's a ritual? A ritual is an act or a series of acts regularly repeated, right? You do it over and over again in the same manner. Right? You repeat things over and over in the same manner. That's a ritual. Some of you may have a morning ritual where you got certain things you do every morning, right? I'm a very much a creature of habit, and I very much have a morning ritual, you know, and you get up, brush your teeth, get a shower, get dressed, I have my cereal, take my vitamins, and I'm out the door. And I do it the same way every morning of my life. It's my morning ritual. A ritual is a series of acts repeated regularly. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were called Pharisees. They were really, really good at doing rituals. Jesus said that with their mouth, they drew near to God, but with their heart was far away from God. Yet they had many religious rituals that they did faithfully. They did them mindlessly as rote acts. And they thought that this was somehow going to impress God, but it didn't. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders that lived in Jerusalem, they served in the temple there, they were steeped in religious ritual. And they looked the part. But yet when the day came, and when it was time for the Savior to be born, God chose to reveal the Savior's birth. You ready for this? Not to those people in Jerusalem that were at the temple. He revealed his birth to a group of shepherds in a field. And I want you to write that in. And after you write that in, go back to our text and let's look at it. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Can you imagine that? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In Jerusalem, you understand, 5 miles away, you had the religious elite. You had the religious leaders of the temple. You had the theological minds of the day. They knew the scriptures, guys. They knew the Bible. In fact, they knew where Christ was to be born. When Herod wanted to destroy Jesus in Matthew chapter 2 because he heard about this going to be a Messiah, a king, Herod's intimidated, so he's going to go ahead and just snuff him out. And when he wanted to know where Christ was to be born, he called the scribes. He called for the priest. He called for the religious elite. And he's like, where is this Messiah guy supposed to be born? And they knew. They said, Bethlehem. And then they quoted the verse in Micah. They quoted the verse. So these guys knew exactly where he was to be born, but made absolutely no effort to go and worship him. The ones that should have been there first. The ones that should have been there first missed Christmas. They missed Christ's birth. Unfortunately, the Pharisees were so caught up in their religious ritual, they missed the point of what was happening on that incredible night. And so what does God do? God just skips right over Jerusalem, goes to some backwoods hill somewhere, finds a bunch of shepherds sitting there, sends an angel to tell them about it. Look at verse number 11. It says, for unto you, tells the shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, bunch of angels praising God, celebrating, right? And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why these shepherds, church? Why them? Why not the religious leaders that were in Jerusalem? Because God knew that they were so caught up in their religious rituals that they would not appreciate the uniqueness of what was happening that night. He knows the heart. And he knew that their heart would be like, go to a barn in that village of Bethlehem? Are you crazy? No way, man. We got to lead people in all the rituals. And we got this ceremony that we do. And we got this ritual that we do this time of the year. And we don't need any more rituals. And they were so busy carrying out their rituals that they missed reality. They missed the whole point of what their rituals were supposed to be about. And that was Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you think, be honest, do y'all think that could happen to people today? Oh, yeah. It could happen and does happen. And people all over Daytona Beach and all over the world will get caught up in religious rituals. Maybe it's lighting candles or saying certain prayers or, you know, taking communion or going to special services. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with tradition. But religious ritual and tradition can do two really, really bad things if we aren't careful. And that is, number one, it can cause us to miss the main point of Jesus. We get to thinking that the ritual or the tradition is the main thing, and it's not the main thing. Would y'all agree? Jesus is the main thing, right? Y'all ever heard me say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing? And it is, right? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. And the other thing that it can do, if we're not careful, is that the traditions and the rituals, they can give us a false sense of security that we're okay. I'm okay with God because he's really impressed by my religious rituals that I'm doing. And let me just say this to you. And I say this in love, but I'm telling you, religion and rituals can do nothing about our sin problem. That's why Jesus came to the earth, right? Is because Jesus came to the earth because there was no way that we could take care of our sin problem, so Jesus came to take care of our sin problem for us. And Jesus Christ, listen, no matter how many rituals you do, no matter how many religious things you do, at the end of the day, we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And God provided that for us. And he was born to die. Jesus Christ was born, and there was a plan in mind when he was born. Okay? And the plan was, and Jesus knew the plan, and he submitted to the plan, and he willingly came, and the plan was that he would give his life so that you and I would not have to suffer the consequences of our sin. He took the consequences for us on the cross. He took the wrath of God for us on the cross. He took the punishment for our sin for us. The Bible says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And the good news is this, he did not stay dead. Aren't you glad he's alive? And he's a living Savior, therefore he can give you life. He can give you life. And so, you know, what I want you to see is that religious rituals aren't going to be able to take care of that. In your handout, it says, external rituals cannot change our inward condition. Only Jesus can do that. I've got a cup of coffee here that I'm going to use here as an illustration. I love coffee, but this isn't for drinking. This is for an illustration, all right? If I've got a cup of coffee here, and this is, it's full of coffee, and I have this cup of coffee in this cup here, I could repeat a ritual over this several times a day. And I could, you know, many, many times today, I could do an incantation over this. And, you know, I could say something like, a cup of coffee you seem to be, but you will be changed into a cup of tea. I said, a cup of coffee you seem to be, but you will be changed into a cup of tea. At the end of the day, what's that going to be? Coffee. And it doesn't matter how many outward incantations and things I say over it, at the end of the day, it's still a cup of coffee. The only way for that to become tea is I have got to take the cup, the coffee out. The coffee's got to be taken out in a way. The cup's got to be cleaned, and it's got to be replaced with tea. That's the only way. Do y'all know where I'm heading with this? The only possible way that coffee represents the sin in our hearts and in our lives, and the only way that sin is going to be taken care of in your heart and life is it's got to happen from inside. It doesn't matter how many outward things you do, no more than how many outward things I do to that cup, it's still a cup of coffee. You have to be changed from within. What I mean is you have to accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And when he comes in, the Bible says he cleanses. He takes away the sin. He replaces it with his spirit, with his forgiveness, with his life. And he changes you from the inside out. You are created a new person in Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Religious rituals aren't going to do it. You're going to be the same person at the end of the day. It's got to be Christ changing you. You've got to open up your heart to him. When Jesus was first born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, you know, when he was born, and we love to, you know, be able to go out here and recreate that for people. But so many people miss the point. And it is still very easy for that to happen today. And the answer is really very simple. Focus on Jesus. And just by way of practical suggestion, I would recommend that you read the story of the birth of Christ as a family before you open your gifts. You know, say a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe everyone could share a testimony of what they're thankful for. There's a lot of different things you could do. Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, both record the story of the birth of Christ. Read that. You know, if the kids are old enough to read, have them read it. We used to do that. Or take turns and everybody read a verse until you're done. Read the first 14 or 17 verses here in Luke 2. Give thanks to the Lord, you know. See him in everything that's happening. See him, you know, in all that's taking place. Thank him for everything. If you're able to give a gift to someone, thank him that you have the ability to give that gift. If you're able to receive a gift, you know, and someone loves you enough and thinks enough about you to give you a gift, thank him for that. Thank him for that, not just for the gift, but for the relationship that that gift represents. Thank him for that relationship. You know, another idea, do something in the name of Jesus for somebody this week who cannot possibly pay you back. Do something for somebody who cannot possibly pay you back. We had Halifax Urban Ministries. I got it wrong in the first service, but Halifax Urban Ministries is an organization that helps homeless and all that. And there was a lady who Clint was talking to, and this lady said that what they do is they take homeless families and they help them. They help them get on their feet. They help them get a job. They help them get a place to live. She said, we've got a lot of families that we've helped that now have a job and they now have a place where they're living. She said, but a lot of them have kids and they're not going to have a Christmas. There were 19 different kids that weren't going to have a Christmas. They were kids of homeless parents that now their parents are working. They're in a home. Did you know that families in our church adopted those kids, and every one of those kids are going to have a Christmas now because of people in this church, because of the love that's in this church? That's what I'm talking about. Just, you know, try to do something for someone this week that they can't pay you back. They can't give you a gift back. Just do it out of pure Christ-like love, you know? I mean, it may take on different forms, but you know what I'm talking about. And most of all, if this is the most important thing, okay? If you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life, if you haven't let him, like we talked about, cleanse out the sin and bring his life in, let me tell you something. Today is the day you need to do that. Today is the day you need to accept him and open up your heart to him. It's that simple. The Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. You just believe on his name. You believe on him. You trust him. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that. And I'm telling you, today's the day. Accept and receive him. He'll make a difference. He'll change your life. In your handout, it says that Jesus no longer lives in a manger, but he desires to live within men and women who will open up their hearts to him. That's where he wants to be today. He wants to live in you.